Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie, and fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
WWE NXT Battleground is officially in the books. What's up, everybody? I'm Denise Salcedo. It is June 9th, and we are here to talk about the show. And of course, joining me here today, I guess we've done a couple of NXT shows now, but he's back. What is up, everybody? It's Righteous Reg.
What's up, Denise? Everybody's like, Reg doesn't watch NXT. And I'm like, points are being made. I don't know. But I had a fun time today with this show. Thank you for having me. It's the California Connection. Sunday night, things are weird. NXT was at the UFC Apex. Denise, did it just look like the regular place to you, or was it just me?
So it kind of looked like a smaller version of the Performance Center, but in the Apex this time. But that's what I expected, because I had driven past the Apex when I went to Las Vegas by accident. It's off the strip. It's not near the strip. It's like at least five or so minutes away from the strip. And so I accidentally drove past it, and it just looks like a regular building. Like, you would never know that you can actually have an event in there. So when I drove by, I was like, that's the Apex? What? But here's the thing that I find interesting, and I'm sort of using you as a case study for this, Reg, because I was planning on doing this post show alone, right? Because like you said, you're not an NXT regular. But here's the thing, and I thought this was interesting, that because we had these big matches that were announced for the show, and because of the card that was announced for the show, it got people like you, Reg, that don't normally watch NXT, curious about the product to tune in. So I'm curious, what was it about this particular show that made you say, damn, I want to tune in, and how did you feel coming out of it overall?
Sexy Red was gonna twerk, and I was like, I have to see twerking on my wrestling show. The show started with Sexy Red coming out, letting some curse words out, and twerking on the show. That's all I came for, and that's all I care for. There was a bonus also, Denise, because Lola Vice and Sexy Red ended up twerking together, so it all worked out. Just joking, just kidding.
I was about to say, I can see this being like the real reasons why Reg would tune in to NXT.
No, Denise, I am the most curious person in the world about what NXT is going to look like on CW. Like, I'm asking everyone about it. I'm always asking Phil. I'm going to start asking you on a weekly basis, because I'm interested to see what the roster looks like, what kind of directions they're taking. And this show, every time I watch an NXT show, like the show that got some good ratings a week or two ago, I'm interested in seeing what part of the roster that they focus on, and them having Ethan Page, a brand new guy getting a title match, and an outside thing of Jordan Grace getting a title match was interesting, because I'm like, well, who are the contenders after that? And this show didn't really tell me who the contenders were, but I thought it was a really good wrestling show. That's all I really care about.
Yeah, it was funny because I got your text message today and I was like, damn, NXTNA won over Reg to find out more.
Oh, God, Denise, don't do this to me. No, it honestly did. That's a big part of it, too. The crossover effect is a big deal. And that, there was also that thing in the back of my mind, like, are they going to have more people showing up? Is somebody going to show up to attack Trick at the end? Like, there's always that element that's extra with the crossover thing. And TNA, with the thing that they have going on behind the scenes and the other stuff is also interesting. So I wanted to tune in and see exactly what was going on.
A lot of question marks. I think some of us were maybe expecting a different, I don't know what we were expecting. I went into the show And I will say there were some surprises on this show. Like my predictions were really far off in a lot of what went down on the show. But one of the things that I just thought about right now is when it comes to pro wrestling, when it comes to pro wrestling shows, some of the things that we can always count on working in terms of getting people to tune in, it's usually like a show debut. In terms of like, for example, the first ever AEW Dynamite, the first version of NXT, the first NXT on the CW, right? Shows like that usually tend to draw people's attention. The other one is interpromotional shows, like what we saw here. Not really an interpromotional show, but of course we did have a talent from TNA on the card. And then the other one, invasion angles. Just always get pro wrestling fans curious.
Yeah, it's the easiest thing in the world. When the Monday Night Wars were going on, we all were like, well, if you guys just do a WCW versus WWF show, everything would be great. That was never going to happen. This whole time, like, there's tribalism with WWE and AEW, but if they announced a joint show tomorrow, the world would explode. That's like one of the biggest things and easiest things you could do. This wasn't a full TNA's here to invade, we're going to take over type deal. But I mean, it's a pretty huge deal that the Knockouts champion was taking on the NXT women's champion.
No, it definitely is. And I feel like sometimes we get used to so many big things happening in pro wrestling, right? Like a lot of things that you didn't think would happen in pro wrestling have happened. And this year, especially these last couple of years, I feel have been just so wild. So wild that I think sometimes we get numb to some of the big things that are happening in pro wrestling, where if you think back and if you would have told, you know, your old self from like 10, 15 years ago that this would be happening, you would be like, no way. But we're like that because of all of the crazy shit that's been happening in pro wrestling.
We're spoiled, Denise. So many things are happening on a consistent basis, not just on the wrestling shows, but we're getting dream matches announced. Tony Khan's going crazy online. Everybody's always announcing things. We're consistently getting information. So when a big thing happens, like 10 years ago, if they were like, oh, the Knockouts champion is going to take on the NXT women's champion, you'd be like, ah, shut up, that's dumb. But now it's just like kind of happening. And it's not even the biggest story in wrestling, Denise. It's just like, oh, that's happening too. That's going to be fun. You know what I mean?
Right. That is kind of crazy. So that's just kind of where we're at in the landscape of things. But we got to get into the show and what went down. I'm going to kick things off with some super chats because I see them rolling in. So let's go. First and foremost, shout out to Sheldon Jackson.
Let's go.
Gifting 5 DWL memberships, as always, much appreciated. We got Crazy 101 who says Ethan Page first WWE song is ass. Ricochet and AEW question mark. Did you think Ethan Page's song was ass? I didn't think it was ass.
It was like, it's an NXT theme, so I wasn't like totally, I didn't think it was so egregious, but I understand.
And then I spent a lot of time talking about this on yesterday's show, so I won't rehash this again. But really quickly, Ricochet and AEW, I'm thinking yes. Reg, what about you?
If I had to put all my money on the line, WWE was in Vegas today, I definitely would put it on NXT or Ricochet showing up in AEW. Like, there's a couple of people, Denise, that I think got caught lost in the shuffle in a way of when AEW became a thing, WWE was like, we're going to sign all the guys that we know would kind of cook over there. And at that point, Ricochet was like hot, like in Japan. He is just coming off of the Lucha Underground stuff. One of the hottest wrestlers in the world. If he would have went to AEW at that time, he'd probably be a couple time AEW world champion. He'd be mixed up. He'd be in that stuff. Since he's been kind of in WWE, not in the greatest position, he's coming in not as hot as he would have 5 years ago, but he's such an amazing wrestler that if he like went in the indies for a month, he went to Japan, Dragon Gate, and did a couple matches, he'd be right back into it. He's a dynamic superstar, and we've probably forgotten all the great stuff that he's done. He's going to be on his way. It's Ricochet.
We got Jay Stone here who says, at this rate, I'm almost ready to say, let's just have Oba vacate the NXT North American title like Samoa Joe and get this man up on SmackDown brute force. We're going to talk a whole lot about Oba Femi once we get to his match, but yes. I'm not wanting to rush things. The last thing I want is for more of the guys to be leaving NXT. Like, we need all the guys that we can get. I actually thought Jay Stone's comment was that he wanted him to drop the title so that he could go for the NXT championship. That's what I thought he was going to say. So no to the guys leaving right now on NXT. We got David Primero, who says, glad Soruka didn't win. She has incredible moveset, but her character and my skills is so cringe. Kind of surprised Kehlani won. Maybe Fallon versus Kehlani. We will get to that in just a moment, but I think that was probably the biggest surprise of the night. Agreed. We got Jared here, who says, what's Dana Brooke doing in the NXT zone? Reg, my mind got so fudged in this weird moment. I was like, blonde girl. The first thing I thought was, Izzy Dame. And since there's so many blonde girls in
blonde
NXT,
girl.
And my brain didn't go to someone from NXT. I just saw blonde girl, yep, and I started thinking, Izzy Dame, Cameron Petrovic. And I'm like, this doesn't make sense. And no, then my brain was like, oh, it's Dana Brooke. But then I was like, wait, it's not Dana, nope, anymore. It's Ash by Elegance. This was literally the thought process in my head for this.
That's amazing. Blonde girl, and then like a Rolodex of all the blonde women that exist there is amazing. Okay, Denise, is that a good or a bad thing? Let's talk.
What's a good or bad thing?
That you couldn't, that you had to go through 10 different women, you know? Well, you went through 10 different blonde girls before you got to her.
Well, it's because my brain wasn't thinking TNA. I mean, yeah, only with Jordynne Grace, but it wasn't thinking TNA with anybody else.
But is it because they're, none of them have like a distinct gimmick?
They do.
Like you didn't
they
think
are
of
different. They are
you didn't think of Tiffany Stratton though. Because
no,
she,
I didn't.
You know?
No, but it's just because it happened so fast. It happened so fast, right? And my brain just didn't have a quick reaction to it.
That's fair. That's fair.
It's like, yeah, she was just in WWE. Damn, she was just there. And now she's not. And then there she is again. It was just, it threw me for a loop, man.
And wasn't she doing NXT before she left too?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. We got Matt Logan, who says, I'm glad to see Ethan Page get a nice paycheck. I didn't expect him to lose clean on his first match. I didn't expect a title change either. That was a big conversation in terms of, we just did not know where this was going to end up. And I will tell you what I was surprised by for this match. And it wasn't that there wasn't a title change. I was actually surprised by how fast the match ended.
Yeah, when, you know, when we watch these PLEs, Denise, we're always kind of looking at the time and when matches start. And there was like, essentially, we thought was a full hour left. So we're like, oh, they're going to get in this match and kind of cook. And like, they didn't. I was like, they'll probably go at least 20 minutes. And they did not go 20 minutes at all. So, yeah, I felt like there maybe should have been a little bit more. But at the point that Trick is in his career, he's not really up for longer matches. I thought that they cooked. We'll get more into it when we talk about the match.
We got Christopher Marino, who says, first NXT gets Paige from Ring of Honor. Now, Reg, poor Ring of Honor. Wait, I need to read this again.
Yeah.
First NXT gets Paige, okay, from Ring of Honor. Yeah. Now, Reg, poor Ring of Honor. Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I forgot about, do you still cover Ring of Honor, Reg?
I don't. I do not. No.
Did you give up because you just were not interested in the show anymore?
I'm going to NXT with Ethan Page at this point. NXT is more interesting than Ring of Honor, Denise. I can't believe I said that sick statement out loud. This is crazy. I'm on the NXT show like, what's up, Denise? Let's have fun.
You also jumped. You literally jumped. You were a free agent, Reg. Went from the Ring of Honor post show on Fightful to the NXT post show here.
Oh, my God.
I'm deceased right now.
What happened? I don't know what happened here. But we're here. All right.
All right. Infamous Raider Loco says, during Roxanne versus Jordynne's match, I was trying to figure out how they were winning. And I said, maybe a TNA interference happens to lead to Roxanne winning. And it happened. Dope Battleground overall. I really did like Battleground. I think the one thing that threw me off, not too much, or I don't know if I just noticed it more with this paper premium live event, was there was more commercials. Am I crazy?
I have the commercial version, so it always seems like they're a bunch of commercial and they capture on that Trainer dog commercial. Was that showing on yours too?
Nah, bro, I left during the commercial.
Oh my God, there's this Megan Trainer pet, she sings for some dogs, and I wanted to strangle myself to death. But we have to remember,
so Megan is singing to the dogs.
It's like, yeah, pet commercial for something, and she's
singing. I got all WWE packages.
Yeah, you're lucky.
So basically what they were doing was they would throw back to like previous NXT takeovers, things like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did you get that too?
I think it's just because we have to remember this is a development. Brandon, somebody was saying in the chat, like a lot of the, none of the matches went past 15 minutes. That's how there's a lot of new people in this show. So like 10 minutes is the longest thing. So they have to stretch.
No, but I don't feel like they've done that before. At least not to the extent that they did today.
I mean, I don't watch too much NXT as we've talked about.
I watch all the shows, but I felt like this time there was just more of the commercials and stuff.
Really? No, I didn't really notice, I guess.
I felt like they didn't do a lot of backstage stuff. Like they didn't do like a lot of promos or things like that. Like it was very, very few. And they usually do like so much more of that.
No, this was like pretty straight to the point. It was like match, the promo for the match. It wasn't like any extra stuff added on it.
We got Will Chisholm here who says, Reg, we know what's next for Roxanne. It's Julia with the broken arm and she still might win. I don't know, man. We'll see. We got Jared here who says, Reg, NXT is already a teen drama. It'll be fine on CW. Is Riverdale still on? Or is it canceled?
I have no idea. It's been so, I feel like that show was on a long time ago.
I'm done with my Riverdale phase. I finished it. I knew I had to stop watching Riverdale once I started to crush on the one guy from, Jughead. I had developed a crush on Jughead.
Zack and Cody?
That's why it felt wrong. I'm like, I cannot have a crush on one of the kids from The Suite Life of Zack and Cody.
No, that's weird.
Like, this feels weird. I think he's my age, by the way, so totally. It's really appropriate, but I knew him as the kid from Suite Life of Zack and Cody. I'm like, I can't like Jughead now. Like, this is weird.
It's not that weird. You guys, like, when you were watching him, he was the same age. He's kind of a teen star heartthrob, I guess.
Got very cute in Riverdale. Developed a crush.
Riverdale. Shout out to Luke Perry. He was on that too, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. We got Travis Lindsay here who says, Reg is on. I never watched NXT, but checked in to see the Apex. I turned it off after the ladder match. We got Sven Big who says, what's up, Denise and the Righteous One? Top matches for me. Ladder match, three-way, Oba's a beast. And Roxanne versus Grace. Main event was all right. And was Grace bleeding from? I think Jordan was bleeding from the ear, because if you remember, she had lost a piece of her ear during a TNA match. Mm-hmm. And I think that may have reopened up during the match. That's what it looked like to me.
Yeah, I mean, I was just reading about the Mick Foley calling her when she ripped it off. So I'm sure she could have re-aggravated that during the match.
Thank you so much, Sven Big. We got John Taylor here who says, I knew Ethan wouldn't win, but as a longtime fan, I'm still excited that he main evented his first NXT WWE PLE. Do you think he fast tracks to WWE, like to the main roster? I think so. Especially with the showing that he had today. I think he did a great job, man. I know that some people are going to be torn on the booking, but in terms of his portion, the parts that he can handle, I thought he did really good.
Yeah, I'm a really big Ethan Page fan, so I was excited about this. And I think, like, if he was looking to show them that he could be inserted into the main roster SmackDown or Raw tomorrow, that was perfect. Like, that was everything you needed to do. He looked like a superstar. He carried the match. He knew all the positions to be in. Like, he looked like, I'm here to be a WWE superstar. I'm going to make your champion look great and make myself look great. I think they do fast track him to the main roster pretty soon.
John Taylor also adds, Reg's face on the thumbnail makes sense now as a past Reg, just shook that future Reg is in the NXT zone.
The NXT zone.
You know what's funny about that? Have you noticed that all TNA shows always make, no matter what venue they're in, it always looks like the Impact Zone? Like if NXT got a note from TNA and decided to make it look exactly like the Performance Center.
That's why I was saying that coming into the show, Denise. I was like, did it look exactly the same? Did they do that on purpose? Are they going to just like put that into our brain, know this venue so we can have any place, or we could stay in one place forever just in the same thing? And I was like, I thought that being in a different venue, they'd maybe switch it up, but that's just how that venue looks. What more could they do to it?
No, there's not that much. They were working with a tight space. If you notice, it was literally the barricade, a couple inches, the end of the steel steps, and that's it. Like,
right.
The girls in the ladder match were working, when they worked on the outside, they were working with a small, confined space, man.
Yeah, the ringside area wasn't very much for the wrestlers to work with. And at one point, they described the security guard getting knocked down. It was a very tight space in there.
I thought Booker T got knocked down in the beginning.
Yeah, at one point, Booker T, I think when Ethan put him through the table, his thing got knocked out. And so, like, Booker T sounded angry at certain points of the show, but I think that's just how he sounds, because, like,
Booker's just like, I need some space.
Yeah, seriously. He's like, what's going on here? Why are they going through the table? That's kind of what this happens here, Booker T.
Dream Ninja says, don't worry, Reg. NXT has been the best pro wrestling for a while. So Ruka's two soul snatchers were sick. Rox's juggernaut driver counter was lit. Why can't I say, is it juggernaut or juggernaut? I can't say it.
Juggernaut. Juggernaut.
You changed it. You said it to
juggernaut. Yeah, I was saying it like you the first time. Juggernaut. It's the juggernaut, bitch.
Juggernaut.
Juggernaut.
I can't say it. It's too hard of a word.
It's the juggernaut. Denise, is this true? Is this the best pro wrestling show?
It differs on every week, but I will say this, though. NXT has gotten so much better, and there are some weeks that I feel have been really good. And there are some times where I enjoy it, sometimes even more than Raw and SmackDown. Of course, it depends on the week, though.
Were you doing the post show during 2.0?
Yes.
Where did you almost quit?
Yes. We got Crazy 101 who says, Reg, wrestling-wise, what's better, NXT or Ring of Honor?
The wrestling is still better on ROH.
All right. Sheldon Jackson says, my question is, what are we doing with the Good Brothers? I thought they would have won tonight. They're being effing wasted in WWE. They're too good team. I almost feel like they're just fine cruising. That's the vibe that I get.
Yeah, we talked about it on the show on Grab City this week about, because the thing came out, the story came out about Shinsuke Nakamura and kind of these wrestlers being, they're like, well, why are these wrestlers being wasted away over here in WWE? And the Good Brothers always come up because they're like, we don't care, dude. We're just here to make money. And I kind of feel like that's how they are. They're like, they got the chillest schedule. They get to go to the performance center and just kick it and like have fun. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with them, what they're doing at all. If they wanted to do more, they would be doing more.
Right. That's sort of how I feel, because I was originally like Sheldon, where I was like, damn, come on, you got to do more. I thought they were expecting more when they went back to WWE, especially because if you remember how busy they were outside of WWE with Talking Shop Mania, they had the podcast, they had the show. They were literally on every freaking promotion, it felt like. And now they're in WWE, and it felt like, God, for such a long time, we didn't even see them when AJ was out. And I think one of the Good Brothers was out. I forget who. So then they get demoted to the NXT brand, but then I think they're still on SmackDown. It's a whole thing. I'm not even going to get into that. All right, let's get into the show, because we got so much to talk about. All right, I want to kick things off with what I thought was an awesome opener, and also the most unexpected victory, but freaking deserved. So that, my friends, was the NXT Women's North American Title six-pack ladder match. We had So Ruka, Jada Parker, Meechan, Kalani Jordan, Fallon Henley, and Lash Legend. So, dang, I don't even know where to begin with this. I went into this thinking that it was either going to be So Ruka or Fallon Henley getting the victory. Okay. Reg, throughout the match, I kept thinking, damn, Kalani Jordan is sort of the MVP of this match. I felt she had the most distinguishable spots in this entire thing. And that's what you want in a ladder match, especially like this. You want a shit ton of spots. And the person who's usually in the eye of the tornado is usually the one that, you know, definitely captures your attention. Mm-hmm. And that to me was Kalani Jordan. So when she won, I was completely surprised by her victory, but Red, she has been doing so freaking good. And the only reason I didn't think she was winning was because she hasn't been in any major storylines. She has just been delivering on a wrestling basis. She's a gymnast. She does cool things. She's young. She's lovable. But I did not know she was going to win this. What did you think of this match? And what did you think of the talents that you saw here?
Yeah, going into this match, my prediction was Lash, just because she had been involved with the Trick and Ethan, just involved in kind of a main event angle. I'm like, well, that would kind of make sense to make her champion. She's known, she's coming up, she's all these things. And so When the match is happening, I'm like, it doesn't really look like they're setting Lash up to do it. Coming into the match while they're playing like the videos talking about all the women, I'm like, they're kind of putting an emphasis on Kehlani. She feels like one of their really big stars down here. And so the match is happening and she hit like this outside dive where she did like this corkscrew spin. And I was like, oh, wait a second. And then she did a bunch of things where I was like, oh, wait a second. And so as like the match build and she like got more into it, she started doing some RVD spots. I'm like, the homegirl be watching RVD too.
She likes RVD. I did an interview with her. You guys can watch that here on this channel because not very many people have interviews with Kehlani Jordan, but I do. Oh, so check it out. And that's how I know so much about her. But she talks about that. And that was the crazy thing, Reg, is that when I interviewed her, it was right before NXT deadline for the Iron Survivor Challenge. And she had just been wrestling for 6 months, Reg. And that point, 6 months, and she was already kicking ass. Since then, I think now it's been, a year and a half now, almost 2 years.
That's what, going into the, when they showed the graphic, Denise, I was kind of worried because the ladder match has become such a regular staple in pro wrestling, and it's such a used stipulation that we've forgotten how kind of dangerous and what it takes to go into a ladder match. The greatest ladder matches of all time involved wrestlers that had been wrestling for 10 years, they know the game. You just said Kehlani's been in wrestling for a year and a half. Some of these women in these matches haven't learned how to regularly wrestle fully yet. They haven't learned the business without a ladder being involved. So I was like, this is kind of scary because Meechan's the only one that's a veteran. Like, she's been in there. She knows this. Like, this is nothing. These other five women are still learning the game. And so I'm like, this is nerve-wracking, but it seemed like we got out of there without any injuries. All the women did great. Them all carrying Lash and dumping her over into the ladder, disgusting stuff. Soul was going insane. Somebody described in here, her moveset is crazy. Like, her finisher's wild. She hits it from different positions. She just... cool. I kind of like her gimmick though. I like the old surfy, like,
oh, I love her. I thought she was gonna win. She was my pick, and I loved every time we saw her and Kehlani kind of mix it up in this match. And then once when she hit the two back-to-back soul snatchers, it was very, very cool to see. But I could tell that they put a lot more trust when you saw So and Kehlani in this match together, because that was when we got some of the very best moments. Because again, Soul is also somebody that comes also from the gymnastics background. So It's those girls that you can kind of trust a little bit more because they just know how to maneuver their bodies and do this type of stuff. And they have the air control and they can do these cool things and be trusted with it. And so, man, what can I say? I love this match. And I'm just, you mentioned that spot with Lash Legend when they all threw her out. At first, I'm like, oh, this looks really cool. And then I saw her land, Reg. And I just saw like her butt hit the corn, like the edge of the freaking ladder. Mm-hmm. Dude. Oh, my freaking, like, my butt bone was hurting just from watching that.
Yeah, very dangerous stuff. And again, young people in the game. Lash doesn't take bumps like that. She didn't know, like, what it takes into taking this. So, yes, Denise, Kehlani won the belt, the first ever women's North American champion. So, you know the lore around the men's North American championship, right?
Yes. As in, it's like one of the most, I say, revered belts on NXT. Like, you got...
what's connected to it?
The NXT championship?
Mm-mm. The North American championship is the Black Man Championship. If you do the history on it, most of the contenders, most of the people that held that championship are Black men. And the first person to hold the North American Women's Championship, a Black woman. Look, we're continuing this thing. And I'm like, on one hand, I'm like, yay. On the other hand, I'm like, what are you guys doing this again? You're creating the championship for us. Here's your guys' thing. The NXT Championship's over there. For the rest of them, they're
really
changing things. Trick Williams and Carmelo did it, but this is very, very interesting that the first one was Kehlani. Well deserved. She looked great in there. It's just interesting.
I thought her winning was a great way to skyrocket an upcoming babyface for the women's division.
Totally.
Because she is such a freaking natural baby face. Like, you look at her, and I've said this from the very beginning. She's like out of the Disney Channel, super cutesy type of girl. And so I feel like she doesn't have a mean bone in her body. If they were to make her heel, I'd be like, what the hell are we doing here? Kalani Jordan. Kalani Jordan to me is just a super baby face.
I thought the same thing about Roxanne, and she plays a heel in like five matches later. It's kind of crazy.
It happened later on though, like way later on, deep in her time at NXT. It was still felt too soon and still felt a little unnatural in the beginning. But I guess at some point, you know, she put the, you know, pedal to the metal when it comes to that.
It's working. Yeah, exactly what you're saying here, Denise, is what I love about brands like NXT is like sometimes on the main roster of any company, they get so hooked on who the wrestler, like when they went in a panic for the women's championship on the main roster, like we got to get Becky Lynch back in. It was like they had a chance to. They had a battle royal where they could have made a new person into something. And they spent so much time being like, well, we just got to go back to what works. And it makes sense because you make money with what works. They went with a completely new person. Like, Kehlani's going to have a championship. She don't know. And she's going to be going in as a fresh face, a new person. And like you said, she looks like a Disney Channel star. She looks like she could be the biggest baby face in the company if given the opportunity. And I'm sure she's like 21 years old or something crazy.
Yeah, she's, I don't even know how old she is, but she's, I'm sure, very, very young. But that's what I did like, though. I like that they gave it to somebody that, again, we don't really know that much about. She hasn't had a big story at all on NXT. All we know is that she was friends with Thea Hale, friends with Malin Henley. That was pretty much the extent of it all.
That's her story. She's friends.
That's her story. She had a couple of friends. So there you go. Congratulations to Kalani Jordan. And again, guys, check out that interview here on the channel. So let's go ahead and get into this next match. There's only, I guess we kind of touched on it already, but it is for... Rather, it was for the NXT Tag Team titles, Nathan Frazier and Axiom against the OC. I thought for a second that the OC was going to win this because I'm like, damn, they've competed so many times for the NXT Tag Team titles and have lost every single time. And I'm thinking,
what is this?
Going to win, right? That's what I thought. I really thought, and that's not because I don't like Nathan Frazier or Axiom. I think they're very cool. I love them as a tag team. But I was thinking, how many times can the OC compete for the titles and keep losing?
Yeah, totally. I wanted the Good Brothers to win just because I think Axiom and Nathan Frazier could be on the main rosters just because how exciting of a tag team. They could be on either Raw or SmackDown right now and be having crazy matches on a weekly basis. So I was like, maybe the Good Brothers could do this, but then it goes right back to what we're describing, Denise. They don't care. They're just there to have a good time, put over these young talent. Like, oh, you need us in a big match that we lose? All right, fine. We'll show up there. So I'm not too mad at it, but I think Nathan Frazier and Axiom are really, really dope and their matches are exciting. It's kind of the spot foo shit that I love. So of course that I like it.
Yeah, I was going to say, of course you were going to like this match. But yeah, it kind of feels like the OC is sort of volunteering their time right now.
That is. Look, it's not anything, not anything to be mad at. It's the Bryan Danielson approach of like, dude, I'm about to show up, have fun. But I don't want to win. I've been winning. This is not what I'm going to do at this point in my career. And I think it's great.
All right, let's keep it going. I want to get into the NXT Underground match. This was Shayna Baszler versus Lola Vice, with Lola Vice getting the victory. I have sort of mixed feelings about this because I was never really a fan of the Underground matches that they did on Raw. When they started doing them on NXT, I also wasn't crazy about them. I did like the one that Lola did with Natty, and she defeated Natty, which I thought was the right call. And since then, I have sort of wanted the Underground match to sort of be like Lola Vice's match, like to be her thing, the thing that she never loses at. So I was thrilled to see her also get the win. I think for me, the only thing in this match that I kind of didn't like was, one, I felt like there were some moments that I thought were like really fun, really interesting. Like when the action was happening, that's when it was good. But when there was a lot of stalling and getting into places that you couldn't really see because it was too dark or there were too many bodies and you couldn't really tell what was going on, all of those moments sort of took me out of it. But then whenever it was actual physical, when it was a physical portion of the match, that's when I would get back, brought back into it. The other thing I didn't like was Shayna Baszler just like randomly starting to attack everybody. I was like, why? What's the purpose? What's happening here? Why is Shayna Baszler just randomly attacking all these people? Whatever. Lola Vice gets her victory. Again, this match was fine. I'm not too crazy about the Underground matches, but I like it primarily because of what it's doing for Lola Vice.
Yeah, totally. There's a, I feel kind of the same way. There's mixed feelings about kind of the concept as a whole. I thought at, on Raw, while in theory it seemed cool, but I thought the execution was kind of not that great. I think they're doing a lot better on NXT, and specifically giving it to Lola Vice, I think is great. My only issue is going forward, like when Lola Vice gets to the main roster, is she going to bring this concept with her? Like, is she going to continue this thing, or is it just going to be specifically for NXT? And how's like that going to translate for her character? Regardless, we're here now. And I thought this match, when the points, like you said, the points that were action were really good. The points that were down, that's where it's like when they do this like work shoot thing, I get like, all right, you guys, I get mixed up because it's like you're saying anytime they're like, this part is real, this part is wrestling, and this part is real, I'm always like, all right, you guys, like, don't insult my intelligence. It's just something that's a pro wrestling trope that they do before. But regardless, I thought that the finish of this was great. Them going, her hitting the spinning back fist and knocking Shayna down into the people, then her getting her into the steps, and then doing the spinning back fist finish in the thing. Somebody said in there they think they stopped the match a little too soon. I maybe agree too, because Shayna's a badass. Like, we know her history. We know she's been in MMA matches. She's been in worse positions and lasted longer.
Right. I think for me, this was like a good amount of time. I was like, all right, this is it. I'm good with that. I'm happy that Lola got this very explosive finish, because it was pretty explosive. Like, she just went in there and started nailing Shayna Baszler, and that I did enjoy. So I have a question for you, because again, you've only watched NXT sporadically. How do you feel about Lola Vice?
How do you think I feel about Lola Vice, Denise?
I don't know. I may or may have not set you up right now.
Denise, have you seen Lola Vice?
I've seen Lola Vice. I've seen her in person too, by the way.
And how's she look in person?
Oh, she looks even better in person. Yeah. She looks better in person.
Fucking bet. Yeah. Nah, she's listening. I will take a spinning back fist. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, you wouldn't even notice that she was spinning back fisting you, because you'd be drooling. You'd be like, huh? Boom.
Lola versus Mama Wayne. I'm going with Lola, you guys. I'm sorry.
Wait, you're picking Lola Vice over Mother Wayne?
Yeah. Where's she from?
Lola?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, actually. Let me check. I forget what her story is.
Hey, yo.
What?
When they signed her and she was like,
know everybody that's from everything.
Yeah, when they first signed her, she was putting her
Miami.
Those Instagram videos out, I was like, yo, this is, I don't know if WWE's ready for this.
And she's of Cuban descent.
That's what I meant. Like, there you go. With your background. She's
I know how you just read. You were like, oh, Denise is just gonna automatically know.
I thought you just said you interviewed her, didn't you?
Yeah, but it's not something that's like at the top of my head. Well, I wasn't sitting here going, so tell me about Cuba. I didn't say any of that.
She is fine. 10 out of 10. Would recommend.
So I can't believe it. You just betrayed Mother Wayne like that. This is very
hard. Out the window. Have you seen? Well, she knocks people out and then she twerks over the top of them.
The hips?
The hips don't lie. Shakira told us. She was right. When Shakira got in there and wrote them bars, I was like, man, Shakira.
Yeah, but Reg, you can climb Shayna like a tree.
That is the thing, though. You're right about that.
All right, that's it. You got to pick one. Who is it?
If we need to get into a fight, Lola Vice is going to help.
All right, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
You're hanging, you're at the top of a cliff. You have Mother Wayne in one hand, and you got Lola Vice in the other. One of them is about to go. The one you save is going to be very thankful to you for saving her life.
Not even a question. Sorry, Mama Wayne, you're dead.
Damn, man. What's the saying? Well, these hoes ain't loyal. These hoes ain't loyal.
Not Denise calling me the hoes.
It's true what they say. These hoes ain't loyal.
Look, respect to Mama Wayne. I sold out ROH today, and I sold out Mama Wayne today. That's just what's happening here.
Damn, you really crossed the line. You were like, man. Nah, bye-bye.
Hey, it's TNA crossover. You said Denise crossed the line, baby. Cross the line.
I'm dead. All right. Let's see what else we got here. We got so much more to continue on with. So let's go ahead and get into the NXT North American Championship match. Obafemi defending his title against Wesley and Joe Coffey. Now, I'm just going to start right here. I am not a Gallus fan. People already know that. People on my NXT show already know that. But I give kudos where kudos are deserved. And I thought that all three men kicked ass in this match. I booed when Gallus came out and got involved. I booed. I was like, nah, none of this. Get rid of it. But I cannot deny that this was an entertaining match. Obafemi, bro. I loved the way they made him look. They didn't make him look like a bitch by being taken out or none of that. None of this distraction crap. No, thank you for not doing that to Obafemi. Instead, they came after him, Gallus, and he took them out and got back in there and handled his business and retained his title.
Denise, I don't watch a lot of wrestlers and say like, what did my brain just see? What just happened here? And there was a couple of moments in this match where I was like, what? Obafemi and Wesley are on the second rope, and Oba picks Wes up in a fucking press slam. They're both on the second rope and throws him into the air into a crossbody on the Joe Coffey. And it's like, what are you doing, dude? And another time, Wesley tries to hit him with the meteor and he catches him into a powerbomb. This guy's just catching human men out of midair and just throwing them like nothing. I don't know where this freak of nature came from, Denise. I don't know what he did, how he got here, but this guy does some things that are mind-blowing. This was, like you said, there the Gallus came in and attacked him, and he didn't look like a bitch. He was fighting people off. He beat their ass and then got back in the ring and beat some more ass. This guy's just like a beast, but not in a... Sometimes they get caught up in they have a guy like this and they have him squash everybody. He hasn't been squashing everybody, but then he kind of has. It's like they're doing this weird thing. This guy
is a good mix. It's a good mix. You don't see the same thing over and over.
No, exactly. I hate when they get into that position of squash, 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 and they get to the main people and they can't squash those people. They don't have him in that position. He's in the mix. This guy was just tossing guys. He is awesome. Like, there's not a lot of people that I leave the show with like, damn, that person is the one, but this guy is the one.
I think all he needs now is obviously just more experience, right? That's going to come. Yep. He's going to build his character. He's going to get more polished. The more confident he gets as time goes by, like, he is going to be unstoppable. I say, like, in the next year, unreal. It's going to be the peak Obafemi in terms of his time in NXT. And then the second he, you know, finishes checking all the boxes that he needs to, he is going to be taken up so fast to the main roster. It's crazy. But I do eventually want to see him with like a manager, someone really cool, not someone that's going to bring him down, but somebody that's really going to just add to it. But yeah, Obafemi, it's looking good, man. And what I like too was during the, for the finish, when he power slammed both guys, I love that when he first power slammed Wesley, like, Wesley didn't get thrown out of the ring. None of that. He was still there. So he could have easily gotten right back up and stopped, broken up the count before he pinned Joe. And he didn't. And I love that because that just felt like it hit even harder that he couldn't even move 2 inches to break this up because he was done.
Because Obafemi killed him. Yeah, I like that. It's like when the match is over, his opponents are dead. It's not like they're kicking out at almost kicking out at three or like he just got over on them. No, they're flat on the earth because he just destroyed their lives. Somebody mentioned earlier, Denise, you talked about it. They're like, oh, he needs to go up to the main roster. I think he's going to get even better if you let him develop, if you put him in positions like this on NXT first. Let him go through everything there is to know in NXT, being the North America champion, eventually being the NXT champion, so he can run and know everything. And by the time he gets up to the main roster, he's ready, ready, ready. Because if he went up right now, he wouldn't be ready.
No, you don't want to do that to them. You don't want to shortchange them. Like, let them cook a little bit, right? Like, right. Make sure they get finished and done. And then, hey, when you're ready, go up there. Mm-hmm. All right, we got some super chats here. This is from Steven Marchuli, who says, Roxanne Perez versus Jordynne Grace, match of the night. Oba in line for a Goldberg-like push. Would you like to see that for Oba?
No.
It's just the association. Will Chisholm says, the way NXT is looking, they might as well bring back UPN. Damn, it's been a while since I've even said the words UPN.
I'm saying that ladder match, I was like, there's kind of a lot of black people in this. And then the Obafemi and West, I was like, yo, this could might be on UPN. And it's making sense because CW used to be UPN.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. Eloquent says, Def Rebel done it again, shaking my head. Ethan's new music ass. Man, nobody... I need to go back and re-listen to it. Maybe I didn't listen enough.
You don't care about things like that. That's why.
No, you know what it is? I think music to me for the theme songs, unless it grabs me like right away, it's just background noise for me.
It has to be right away. That's the key for you?
Yes. If it doesn't have like in the first second something super distinguishable, I'm like, I don't give a
second.
First second. Because think about it, all of the greatest pro wrestling theme songs that have garnered the most reactions, which ones are they? It's Austin and The Rock. Why? Austin? I mean, that was a terrible glass
shatter. That was the worst glass shatter of all time.
I was trying to do a glass shatter. How do you do it? I was trying to do it missed. And it didn't come out. All right. Do not let that ruin the point that I was trying to make. All right.
You were people? Going for it. Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right. The glass shatters.
Okay.
Within a split second, you know who it is. You know to react.
Like Swerve, whose house? Swerve's house. Like hits really hard because that's in
right.
the beginning.
Because yeah. it's right away. That's mm-hmm. what you need.
Okay.
So if it doesn't grab my attention like that, I'm like, la 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 la. Who's that?
Listen, I'm just asking questions for research purposes.
Oh. Well, there you go. That's the best tip that I can give you.
Thank
Righteous
you.
Reg. Think about it. All right. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. I'm just making up shit. I was trying to sound like I was 10 steps ahead of you.
You were.
I was
10 not.
Steps behind. Christopher Marino says, heat wave in Toronto, 50 minutes from Ethan Page's hometown. He is winning there, getting that hometown pop. I did not think about that at all.
I kept forgetting about that. We talked about that, Phil and I. They have a show coming up in Toronto. And, I mean, if Ethan Page is going to run it back, good way to win it in Canada. I don't know.
We got Anthony Giuliano who says, you made it on NXT. So proud of you, Denise. Thank you very much.
We didn't talk about that, Denise. You were on the show a couple times in the pre-show. They even had you on the main show. They're like, oh, look at Denise. She's here too. Why are you being embarrassed?
I'm embarrassed.
Yeah, you're acting all embarrassed. You're like, oh, I can't believe it.
Because I didn't like my reaction. I felt like I've had so many other better reactions. Like, that was such a lackluster reaction.
you gotta be like, can you guys filter my reaction? I would have gave you a better one.
My Jordan Grace reaction was gold. I loved that one because all my reactions are natural. And Reg, be honest. Is it like every 2 minutes that you're going, yeah? No, yeah, no. You're like, oh, cool, nice. You're more chill. And so that was a very chill reaction. And I feel like my other reactions were just better. I would have really liked it if my Jordan Grace one made it. Not that one.
This one, you're just like, good job. Yeah.
No, I was like this. I was like.
Great debut, Ethan Page. Oh, yeah. All right. Why would they choose that?
That's what I'm saying. Why would you pick that one? Like, of all my reactions, why that one?
Look at Denise Salcedo. She was so excited.
I looked stressed out in that freaking reaction video. And what's... Because you know what I was thinking when I was reacting? Inside my head, I was like, oh, I was thinking more like, oh, another guy from AEW going to NXT. That's what I was thinking about. And so my reaction was just like, you know, like
another one. Yeah.
Like another one. Yeah. And it wasn't like, oh my God. It wasn't that kind of reaction. It was more like, oh, another one. Here we go.
And you can't get that from just seeing you. Like, I'm not like, oh, she was thinking about this.
No. So instead, because you don't know what I'm thinking about, it looks like I'm just like disappointed.
Right.
But the good thing was that they put my tweet next to it.
Yeah.
And my tweet sounded very excited.
It did. Yeah. It matched up. Not to the video because the video did not get up that energy.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I just didn't like my reaction. So I felt like of all the reactions, that's just not the one to pick.
Listen, just take the W, Denise. You were on a PLE, a million people saw you on that.
I mean, I've done pre-shows before.
Oh, she flexed on me. All right.
I mean, Reg, how many have I done? I'm going to say there's been more than two. I know for a fact there's been more than two. There was two on NXT, and there was like three on the other PLEs. I don't even know.
Been hanging around with Washington too much. Let's move on.
Wait, what did you say? Say it again. Say it again, Reg. What did you say? Did I bust a Will Washington? I busted a Will Washington. Guys, this is an inside joke. My apologies.
We can't be doing inside jokes, Denise.
All right. Sheldon Jackson says, Reg is now officially hashtag NXT. All we need now is a photo of Reg with Shawn Michaels and Denise. Will we be seeing Reg a part of Tuesdays and Wednesdays post shows now?
Tuesdays.
I was about to throw you under the bus, by the way.
Why?
Because I always ask you to tune in to, I always ask you to join me on the Collision post shows. And you always say no.
Last night,
here you are on a Sunday when you could be at home knitting.
At home.
But you're not knitting. You could be relaxing, soaking your feet. Yeah, you're out here working.
It's so funny because I watched all of Collision, and then so like I'm on Twitter and I could see your little video.
You tweeting about Collision.
Denise is on. I could be talking with her right now. Just in my bed, lazy as hell.
I literally saw you tweeting about Collision, and I was like, I guess he just doesn't want to talk about it.
I could have talked about it. I don't know.
Oh, man. Dream Ninja 77 says, Reg, the answer is Jada Parker.
Listen, Shawn Michaels, I see what you be doing, big dog. That's all I'm going to say.
He's booking for you, Reg.
Does he have help in, like, picking the talent? Because I'm like, I see what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, they have scouts.
He's one, right?
Yeah. I haven't gone to one of their scouting things in a while, but like the last time I went a few years ago, and I think it was, I don't remember, but there was a bunch of people. They had Matt Bloom, they had William Regal, they had Samoa Joe, but that was a different time. So it's been a while.
Right.
All right. We got Jay Stone here who says, y'all cooking me about Oba. Honestly, I can't wait for Oba to get into the main event scene. Oba should have a long NXT title reign when the day comes. I agree. I think they're going towards that.
Yeah. I don't want the Keith Lee effect of like Keith Lee was kind of in the same position of like he cooked as the North America champion. And then they made him the NXT champion. They made him the double champion, and then he just gave up the North. It was all of that got weird, and then he got transferred. Like, don't let that happen. Like, let everything get fleshed out and then start the development of going to the main roster.
I used to be a really big Keith Lee fan, and that was my favorite Keith Lee when they were building him so strongly on NXT.
Why'd you say you used to be? What did he do to stop?
He hasn't been on TV, bro. I haven't seen him. And I never got that dream match with him and Swerve. Like, what am I supposed to be a fan of right now?
Stop.
David Primero says, love the TNA NXT crossover. Saw online Gail Kim is on the event watching. Would you expect her to show up in NXT given her past with the with WWE? Yeah, so Gail Kim.
I didn't think about that.
She has been such a pivotal part of the knockouts division over in TNA, and we all know her history with WWE as well. That's where a lot of people got to, you know her a lot more. But she I don't know how to explain it. She's just a professional, man. She's got such great insight when it comes to really caring about the women's division. And when you think about the women's division that they have on NXT, I would definitely want Gail Kim to be part of that. But then again, I'm not really sure what's going on with TNA, and I know that she has a pretty big role there with TNA as well.
Yeah, no, I know like everyone that I know that's interacted with her are like Gail Kim's the coolest, she's the best, like she's fighting every single day for women in that company and all companies at this point. So it makes sense that they would use her, but just like with the history of her stuff with WWE, it's like I hope everything's cool. That guy's not back there. That's a good point. So things are a little bit different. So I'm hoping that it's all good. But you can't have the knockouts division without Gail Kim.
Right. We got John Taylor who says this is why she's called Hollywood.
That's true.
Who, me? What did I do?
What do you mean?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry, because I flexed on you.
What did I do?
It's the circle of life, Reg. When someone flexes on you, you have to flex on them. So now you have to flex on somebody else. Go call Phil. Flex on him for something.
What? No, I'm not passing the flex down.
You got to pass it on.
When did this start? If somebody flexes on you, got to start a flex train. Like when yeah. you're at the damn drive through and somebody's behind you, like I'm paying for the person behind you. You got to keep paying. Have you ever done that, Denise?
No.
Why are you laughing like that? Have you been in the line when somebody's like somebody paid behind you?
No, and I hope that would not happen to me. I know it's a genuine, like a nice thing that people do, but bro, what if I was like just buying a little $5 coffee or something? What if I was broke going to the dollar menu or
whatever?
That's
my issue.
And then the person behind me, what if they're buying for their whole family? Then what do I do? I'm gonna look like an a-hole.
If we're at McDonald's and I'm just getting a cheeseburger and then there's a car behind me and everybody got a meal, that's like $150, dude.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm like, or what if someone pays for you, but it was only like $2?
Exactly.
And
yeah.
And then spent like whatever, $60. Like, how is that fair?
I didn't come to McDonald's and spend $60.
That's what I'm saying. So I kind of hope.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
That never happens to me. It's a nice thing if everyone's spending the exact same amount of money, but that's very rare.
It don't work like that.
I mean, unless you're super rich and you don't care, then great.
If you ball and you're like, yeah, I'll pay for them all that, but we're not balling over here.
No. Oh, you're going to McDonald's. You probably ain't balling, bro. Actually, McDonald's is freaking expensive now.
And I'm saying, if you're pulling out to McDonald's, you might have some paper at this point.
Yeah, seriously. Well, you know, there was an article that came out recently that said that Americans now consider fast food a luxury.
Seriously, like it is more expensive. If you have a family, Denise, and you're taking them in McDonald's, like I said, it's $150. You're not supposed to be spending $150 at McDonald's. You're not supposed to be spending more than $50. It's McDonald's. But yeah, the game is crazy.
Bro, max, I will not spend more than $20 at McDonald's.
Or just you or you and your husband?
He doesn't really like McDonald's. I only
you're spending just weapon. You $20 at McDonald's. I could not give them $20.
Well, think about it. You get your what do you order? I get myself a 10-piece chicken McNugget meal. I get the same thing: 10-piece chicken McNugget meal, large sweet iced tea, plus an apple pie because the apple pies are really good. Add tax. I'm gonna say like $20.
So I'm like, what is our show at this point talking about our McDonald's order?
You know how mad I get whenever my total at Taco Bell is over $15? I'm like, the fuck you talking about? This should be like $3.
That's what I'm saying. What the fuck are you eating at Taco Bell that's $15?
I get my order, the same thing.
Let me hear your Taco Bell order now.
Chicken chalupas. I gotta get two. I get a drink, and then I get the Nacho Bell Grande.
Okay, that's pricey at this point.
Yeah, so it adds up. So there you go. If it's more than $15, I'm going to be upset.
And look, it's just like, even if you're paying for your husband, it's just the two of y'all. There's people that are like, oh, we have 10 kids. Like, you can't go and eat at Taco Bell.
Yeah, they need to bring back the kids eat free after 4 o'clock thing.
What's up?
All right, we got Bear Hudson here. It says, what do you think would be a great opponent for Oba? Gunther.
That's it. Sorry. Yeah.
I'm just thinking main roster right now.
No, straight up. I'm seeing more people that I would want him to lock it up with on the main roster than in NXT right now.
We got Rick Crazier who sends in a super chat. Thank you so much. And he sent an additional one saying, speaking of the ladder match, all but one of the women have a black parent. So the odds were in our favor for it being a black champion.
Let's go. Let's go, baby. That's why I kind of want Sol to win too. I'm like, if she wins, we win too, you know?
I did not know that. Literally did not know that.
Do you not know what?
That.
Oh, Sol has a black daddy.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
No.
She has no idea. Black ass. He looked like me. You're like, damn, he looked like red. Yeah, I'm telling you.
It's the way you said it. You look like me.
You look like me.
Now I'm just going to see you as Sol Ruka's dad, Reg.
Don't see me as Sol Ruka's dad, Denise.
Well, hey, you already picked somebody on the NXT roster, right? Don't be ditching Lola when you just committed to her 20 minutes ago.
Listen, everybody knows this about me. Break me. I'm not a one-woman man.
Anthony Giuliano says, I feel like NXT got better storylines than the main roster in the collaboration with TNA. Hopefully we can see a TNA invasion on the main roster. It's hard to compare. I don't like to compare the main roster storylines with the NXT storylines, because how do you compare Drew and CM Punk with Ethan Page right. and Trick Williams? Right. You don't.
When those guys are talking and then you hear the NXT people talk, you're like, oh no, this is a different sport over here.
It's two different worlds. But I will say this though, and I've said this so many times now about NXT, is that they do have a bunch of storylines for like a lot of people. Like there's several people that are involved in stories.
I was just asking you if you were covering this during 2.0. It's way different than 2.0 is. So
yeah. Anthony Giuliano, thank you so much for that super chat. All right, we got to get into this next two matches, which are the biggest ones of the night, and that is Roxanne Perez versus Jordynne Grace. Oh boy, this to me was also match of the night. I know someone mentioned that earlier. I agree with them. I think this match was phenomenal. To me, the way that I felt about Roxanne after this match was I felt like she was scrappy, because the whole time she was finding all of these ways to beat down Jordynne Grace, because we know Jordynne Grace is bigger. She's got a bunch of muscles. She's stronger. This was strength versus speed in this match. And Roxanne, basically at one point, I felt like she was targeting like every part of Jordynne Grace's body, because she just kept coming at her in every single direction. And it was something that I really liked to see. So, I don't even know where to begin with this match. Reg, how'd you feel about it?
Yeah, no, I think you're making the great point here, Denise. It was Roxanne scratching, clawing, and fighting from behind, because Jordynne was on her ass. Jordynne has this thing of like, she throttles her opponents. Like she's punching, kicking, fighting, tossing you, using her power. Like she overwhelms people. And Roxanne was in this like Rey Mysterio, Amazing Red, Leo Rush thing of like trying to figure out the angles to stop Jordynne from using her power to slam her. So if she has to go over there, she has to go over there. She has to grab at her foot. She has to grab at her arm. Like she's doing all these, she's showing veteran instincts. I think that's what's craziest thing about Roxanne is she's still so new in the game, but the way that she worked that match, it's like, oh, she's been in here for 20 years. She knows this thing. And Jordynne spent so much time, like, I don't want to say distracted, but like, you can tell that in character, the moment was a little bit overwhelming for her. Of like, Roxanne is like, I do this every week. I'm here every Tuesday in front of this NXT crowd. I'm the champion. Like, what's up? Jordynne's like, damn, this is NXT. We're in this different place. All this stuff's going on. I got these people trying to interfere. Like, I'm going to use my power, but there's still something in the back of my mind of like, I know I'm supposed to be here, but am I really supposed to be here? So I thought that was kind of a good story that they played into with the finish of Dana coming in. And but the match is awesome. I thought the finish was really cool too, of a quick kind of like, it was almost like Roxanne escaped, but also she beat her though at the same time. You know what I mean?
No, I thought she beat her in a very definitive way. I know that they kind of did the Tatum Paxley thing with Dana Brooke to sort of almost be a little bit of a distraction, but I felt like it wasn't enough of a distraction to say, oh, Jordynne Grace lost via distraction.
Exactly.
You don't want to do that to a champion. I feel like that's not how you present a champion. A champion's not dumb enough to lose a match on a distraction. I hate when they do that to champions. They should not do that to champions, I may add. But this match, though, there were so many things in it that I enjoyed. There was a moment where Roxanne teased that she was going to do the pop rocks off the apron. And Reg, I was so freaking nervous. I was like, oh my God, is she going to do it? Eventually ended up being a DDT. And I thought, thank God, because I did not know how that was going to look. But I really got my blood pressure going. I loved when she slapped Jordynne Grace in her face, like right at the beginning. Because I'm like, that is so disrespectful. But that was going to show, that showed how Roxanne was coming into this match. Like, she came into this match full heel. Everybody's always talking about how Roxanne's not a good heel. And then some people are like, oh, she's getting better. I'm on the side where I do really think she's grown as a heel. Mm-hmm. And I thought she did a really good job of showing that in this match because she was pissed. She was angry. She gouged at her eyes at one point. The other part that I loved was when Roxanne was like trying to get her with all these back fists and all of these different, hitting Jordan in all of these different ways. And Jordan would just body slam her instead. Mm-hmm. I love that. It reminded me of like a big sister and a little sister fighting for the remote. And it's like, you can't reach up here. You can't reach up here. I loved the overall dynamic that they did in this match. Like I was entertained with this from top to bottom. She kicked out of the Muscle Buster. That was cool. Mm-hmm. They did a lot. Roxanne looked really good in this as a champion. Like this whole, at one point, Reg, I even thought, damn, are they going to give the win to Jordan Grace? They had Roxanne pretty much, I don't want to say dominating because she never like fully dominated Jordan, but it was hard for Jordan to stop her. She couldn't squat the fly, you know?
Yeah, it was kind of like a young and scrappy. She's just too overwhelming. It's like a cat and mouse game, but the mouse is just going too crazy. I have a question for you, Denise. Jordan Grace is the TNA Impact Women's World Champion. She just lost a match to Roxanne on their big show, and she has a title defense, I think, Friday on the TNA show. Does this do anything to that?
Who does she have the title defense against?
It's an open challenge.
Oh, it's an open challenge. It's an open challenge. Yeah. Interesting. Mm-hmm. You think we'll see anybody from? I don't think so.
We might see somebody from NXT. Yeah, I think so. But does this do any? Does this take away from Jordan being the champion?
See, for me, I'm gonna say no. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna say no. However, I know a lot of people are going to feel that it does because regardless, she's a champion, and a champion should be protected. However, I'm going to say no, only because in the grand scheme of things, her being in this WWE match brought so much attention to her as a person that I feel like that to me was just too much of a win to take away from her championship reign. And I feel like I can sort of separate the two, like what she did here and what she's going to continue to do over in TNA.
Yes. That's the answer I wanted. That's a rational answer, and I don't think a lot of wrestling fans are going to have that same rational answer, but thank you.
Well, you know, I already saw a lot of comments coming in on everywhere where people were like, what the hell, you know, like TNA and their champion, and I'm like, guys, let's be real. Like, this was a win for them, even if it doesn't seem like it. Now, for example, if this was AEW, let's say this was AEW, and they loaned out Toni Storm versus Roxanne Perez, and Toni Storm just lost. I would be like, why the fuck did they do that? That doesn't make any sense. Because they're just at different levels in terms of when it comes to promotions and what they're doing.
NXT is a bigger brand than TNA.
Yes. In my opinion right now, yes.
Yeah. You're right.
So that's kind of how I feel about it.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it. All right. So anyways, awesome match. Love that. Great stuff. Let's go ahead and get into the NXT championship match. And it was Trick Williams versus Ethan Page. They had a lot of really good chemistry. I love the way that they started off this match, started off hot. It felt like intense the entire way through. However, as I mentioned earlier, I was surprised by how short this match was. I was when Trick Williams hit the trick shot, I was still expecting this match to keep going. So when he hit the three and they got the three count, I'm like, that's it. What? Yeah. Like the match is over? And I know they had the big table spot and everything, but again, I think I was still expecting a little bit more leg in this match still. I think it still had a little bit more that they could have gone.
I think I was expecting somebody to interfere or something. So when it was over, it was just like, oh, it's over. And it wasn't a bad it's over. It was just like, I think I was expecting more. But yeah, I thought Ethan Page, like I said earlier, looked like a superstar. He carried himself well. He looked big the whole time. Like he looked like a presentable challenger to the champion. Like he was supposed to be here and he should be in this position. That's what I liked about it. I thought the power slam through the table was awesome. That doing a reversal, how they did it on those steps, there's like so much room for error. And I thought they were really great with it. Ethan Page kind of carrying the match using his veteran instincts, I thought was awesome. His little comments that he was throwing out to the crowd shows how different he is than most people. Trick looks good as champion, I think. I thought for a moment that Ethan could maybe win, but then I was like, really? That'd be kind of crazy. So the result don't surprise me that much.
I do think that when you had two predictable winners in Roxanne and Trick, those were the people that I was expecting to win one. But I do think that the crowd was sort of expecting a surprise in either one of those, whether it be Jordan or whether it be Ethan Page, because I felt it like in the ending of the Roxanne match. Maybe it was just because there was only so many people in the Apex, but I didn't feel like there was that huge reaction the way that it might have been had there been a surprise here. And I think it was the same thing with, actually, I don't think I paid too much attention to the reaction for the Trick William win. Did he get a good reaction? Or was it just there?
It was kind of the same, I felt.
Right. So I do think that they were probably expecting for a surprise in either one of these matches. But I think they went the direction that made the most sense. I don't think that Roxanne Perez should have lost to Jordynne Grace. I mean, I wouldn't have hated it. But then again, like, that's their champion, guys. Like, that is their NXT Women's Champion. This match was made to make her look even better. And for the Trick Williams-Ethan Page match, like, dude, Trick Williams just won this title.
This is his first real defense. They were even describing it on commentary that, hey, he's never defended the North American Championship. He lost the first time in this. I have a question for you, Denise, concerning Trick Williams. Who are the contenders? Because, like I said, I don't really know NXT.
Oh, it is slim.
I'm like, could you give me like two names of who's coming up?
Ethan Page.
Oh, my God. That's how bad it is?
Bro, it is slim. It is so slim. And I can't say Obafemi. He's got his own title. He's doing his own thing. And like every other guy, like Sean Spears has another story going on. Alexis King has another story going on. And those are really the other options. Wesley could be an option. But he seems like he's just doing something else right now too. The Gallus guys. I don't want that. I'm sorry.
I see, what's his name? Sean Spears. I'm like, this is why I don't watch the show.
Oh, see, I like Sean Spears. It's just the story's not great right now. Ridge Holland, I'm not a fan of what he's doing on the show either. But it's very slim picking for the guys right now. That's why I was saying, like, don't take any of our guys away. We need them on the show.
Are the guys that Ethan Page attacks supposed to be contenders, Oba and Noam?
So it was originally supposed to be Noam Dar. He was supposed to be one of the guys that was supposed to face Trick Williams. At least that's how it seems like it was going. It was Noam Dar. And then it was Joe Coffey because Joe Coffey also attacked him. Then you thought it was going to be Joe Coffey and then it wasn't. And then we got the attack from Ethan Page and that's how we got here.
Gotcha.
Yeah. All right. We got John Taylor here with a very generous super chat. Says Denise plus Reg equals my all-time favorite duo for recap shows. Keep up the great work, Denise. That reaction shot doesn't work for me, brother Salcedo. And Ring of Honor, never heard of it, Reg. I love that. John, thank you so much for your generosity. We appreciate that very, very much. We got Matt Logan here who says Cody Rhodes is going to be on NXT Tuesday, NBA Finals on Wednesday. Is that official? Because I saw he tweeted it out, but I wasn't sure what they meant by that.
Maybe they made it official while we've been on this show.
Oh, okay. All right. So he's returning to NXT. Nice.
That's what's up.
Fudge, I'm not covering NXT this week. I'm going to be in Scotland. What do I care? Come on. You guys couldn't plan this for a different week? Come on now. Travis Lindsay says, thanks for some Cali connection before Denise's trip to Scotland. Safe travels, Denise. Thank you so much, Travis. I'm very, very excited. Can't wait for that. So keep an eye out for that content here. We got Anthony Giuliano who says, what is your opinion on Ricochet leaving WWE? I covered that really in depth over on the Collision podcast for the first few minutes of that. But just to summarize really quickly, sort of what Reg had alluded to earlier, which is, it seemed like this was the time for him to do it if he was going to do it. But I will say this, and I'll reiterate what I said on the podcast, which was we are in a cool place right now, Reg, where we are going to be seeing for the next couple of years, for the foreseeable future, we're going to be seeing talent from WWE jump to AEW, AEW to WWE, and it's going to keep things fresh. Like, you're not going to be seeing the same guys that have been in WWE for like 20 years that haven't done anything in like 20 years and are just there collecting a paycheck. I mean, they could still do that if they want, right? But at least now there is that option where they can go someplace else, do something else.
Yeah, no, when I saw a guy like Dolph Ziggler leave WWE, I was like, oh, the game is so different. Like, I thought I think more than Dolph Ziggler, let me say Adam Copeland. When I saw Adam Copeland come over to AEW, I was like, anything in the world is possible. This was like, a WWE lifer to me, and him leaving, even at his age or whatever part of position that he's in, I thought was like anything could happen at this point. So yeah, we're going to continue to see more like this. And we're in that position of 5 years ago, WWE was like, we got to get the drop on AEW. We got to sign all these people. And we're kind of seeing the residuals of that right now.
Yes, I love that. David Primero says NXT is hot right now, but why don't they use Gigi Dolin? She's very talented and a future women's champ. They just dropped her storyline with Ariana for some reason. So she's injured. Yeah. I think it's a, did they say ACL or they just said knee injury? Did they elaborate?
I just saw knee injury. I don't know the specifics of it.
Yeah, I just saw knee injury too. So I don't know what the specifics details are on that. As we know, it could be like a bunch of things with knee injuries. It could be ACL, MCL, meniscus, whatever the hell it else is in the knee. But yeah, so she's been out of action since March 12th, which was the last time that she wrestled Ariana Grace. And she just hasn't been on. And it's due to a, quote, serious knee injury. She was recently spotted with her leg in a brace, and there's no current timetable for her return. So it's unfortunate because it seems like for such a long time, you were talking about those earlier NXT 2.0 days, and she was such a big focus of that as part of Toxic Attraction. And it just kind of, there really wasn't much of a story for her following that. They dabbled in a few things, her and JC and some other stuff that they did. But for the most part, it seems like there hasn't really been like a big feature on Gigi Dolin. And now, unfortunately, she's going to be out for who knows how long.
Damn. Yeah, when Toxic Attraction was like the hottest thing in the company and I thought they were on their way, I'm like, it's crazy what happened. What's her homegirl's name?
Mandy Rose?
No, the other
JC Jane?
JC Jane, yeah.
We got Will Chisholm here who says, I wouldn't mind it if they run Jordan and Roxanne back at some point, maybe at a TNA pay-per-view. Nah, they gotta run it back on a WWE pay-per-view.
Denise is just not giving it up for TNA today.
No, it's not that. I'm just saying, like, let's be realistic.
Roxanne gonna... can't go over there and dance for a little bit.
I mean, she can. Nah. But you think they're honestly going to want to do that?
No.
Come on. Like, we know how WWE works. It's all
like they're going to send the homegirl, what's her name, that tried to run up on Jordan today?
Freaking Tatum Paxley.
They're going to send her to.
See, that TNA. I can see. Yes, yeah. That I can definitely see. But not your champion. Not your champion, guys. Come on. Come on. Some things change, but some things remain the same.
Right.
All righty. So I think that's about it, everybody here. Wow. All right. That was it. That was the NXT Battleground post show. I want to thank each and every single person who tuned in. You guys are freaking awesome. Thank you so much for the support. If you haven't already, make sure you're subscribed to the channel. I have been dropping so much content up here. I think this is the 12th podcast I've done this week, Reg. On top of that, I also dropped an interview with Bianca, an interview with Roxanne. I did a TNA versus NXT. I know. I did a TNA versus NXT video. Yeah, I'm pretty, because I did two Raw post shows this Monday, NXT, AEW, then I did SmackDown, Busted Open, Collision, then what was today?
NXT.
Battlegrounds. Sorry, I'm forgetting about the show that I just talked about right now.
We're talking about it.
Yeah, seven. Okay, so I did eight post shows, eight podcasts, plus then the two interviews. That's what I was counting. That gets me to 10. And then the 11th piece was the NXT TNA fantasy video that I did.
Oh my,
so it was 11 in total. So, yeah.
Do you ever see your husband?
I saw him like 2 years ago, bro. Alrighty. Reg, what do you got going on?
Oh, yo, I got a new music video out. You guys go check that out. It's called... a song by Righteous Reg. I can't even remember the name right now because it's been a long day. Thank you guys for joining us.
You forgot your own song?
This is crazy. RighteousReg.bandcamp.com. Go check that out. Every Saturday I'm on Grapsody. I'm on Wednesday, not this Wednesday, with Denise because she's going to be gone to Sweden or some shit. I don't know where she's going to be at.
Scotland.
And then, yeah, Grapsody. And Indeed.
Alrighty, everyone. Thank you so much. As always, subscribe to the channel. We'll catch you guys on the next one. Bye, everyone.
When I grow up, I'm going to be a vegetarian.
Veterinarian? It's awesome.
And I'm going to be what you said we need more of.
So you want to be a plumber-narian?
Do Do you think I can?
I think that if you work really hard, you can be anything.
Promise?
You bet I do.
When you promise your kids the world, we're here to help you keep it. Ohio's 529 plan is the best tax-free savings plan for future college or career training nationwide. Start now at collegeadvantage.com.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks. Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.